What does that sound, you ask?
Welcome to the Rec Show Podcast, a show dedicated to beatmakers around the world. Sit back, relax with the host, Golden Mind.
Of the Rec Show Podcast. I appreciate y'all for being here. I appreciate y'all for checking this show out, subscribing, leaving comments, and retweeting, and resharing, and putting on your Instagram stories, all of that, man. So, hope y'all having a good weekend. Hope you're counting your blessings and not your problems, taking care of your mentals, taking care of your families, man, and we gonna move like that, man. So, yeah, episode 32, we got another New Jersey native. Can't put him in a box, man. He's got R&B vibes, he's got hip-hop vibes, he's got EDM vibes, man. Y'all, welcome to the show. The one and only Economy, man. E-Economy. We gonna play his music, get to know this individual, we gonna hear from him. And we gonna roll like that, man. Smoke him if you got him, drink him if you got him, and we'll be back. Peace and love, yo. Yeah.
Hey, welcome back. Glad you could make it. It's been a long year for me. I'm sure the same for you. But hey, if you're listening to this right now, you have a lot to be thankful for. So be safe and enjoy. Peace, peace. This is the homie Economy from Jersey. And you now rocking with the Rec Show Podcast with the homie, Golden Mind. You living life like it's golden over here, baby. You feel me? You dig?
Here we go, man. In 5, 4, 3, 2. All right, man. This next group is tearing up the charts. Hotter than baked clams. Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for Jodeci.
Wait another day.
Another day. Betty White. Mick, Mick, Betty White, get a dog a bone.
You gotta get this beast. I wanna show you. Let me show you. You gotta get this beast mode. You gotta embody beast mode. Everything about you has to say, I ain't playing. If it's to have, I'm gonna get it. And I ain't leaving none of it behind. It's mine.
Somehow, some way, we gonna make it about this bitch one day. Somehow, some way, I'm giving my family the life. Somehow, some way, we gonna make it about this bitch one day. Somehow, some way, I'm giving my family the life. Wanted to scribble out this motherfucker. Now I rap riddles and spittle my way out this motherfucker. My words are coming, chisel out the color. And the black as a heart stick through you. I'ma find your brightest hues for the night cruise. I spit haikus in a booth that light the fuse. And a few youth that don't like to lose. I might screw some new dudes on rap. Remember that they tried to derail me on my path. But I'm now on track, I'm back, baby. To give you some game, that when everyone change, you remain the same. Just rearrange your frame of mind. While I load my line with a brick and a cane, this new dope, I'm peddling new hope. For all my folks that refuse to settle for misfortune in the crowded ghettos, where black boys substitute joy for loud packs and a pound of metal, pots and kettles. But you feel it, it takes a little love to shower the seed of a dream, but it only takes some doubt to kill it. And the doubt is where the feelings lay. And prey on your insecurities to hang its way. Flame you. Plain as day, like grilling. Listen, it's no ceiling that you can't break through. Don't ever let this industry rape you and fake truths. So stay true and please pray for me. And I do you one better and slay these cowards faithfully. You feel me?
So I solemnly swear, overcharge the focus for what they did to the culture. Understand it can't mold us. Them hoes can't hold us back from greatness. We're past waiting, we're past patience. So we take your hating. So I solemnly swear, overcharge the focus for what they did to the culture. Understand it can't mold us. Them hoes can't hold us back from greatness. We're past waiting, we're past patience.
Economy to the show, episode 32. Appreciate y'all for checking this out, man. That was Ivory Leon and Economy with Daydreaming. Yeah, man, they got some good things coming out, man. They got a couple tracks on his Bandcamp, man. Y'all check out his Bandcamp, man. But Economy, yo, for B-heads that might be sleepy, please introduce yourself, where you're from, and then what your name means and how you even came up with that name. That's kind of a different play on a name that we always talk about a day in and day out. So let the people know, man.
Yeah, so you know, for the heads that might be asleep, I really don't know if anybody's really asleep, but they just haven't come across me yet, you know. But you know, my name is Economy. I hail from Jersey, and Washington, New Jersey, to be specific, you know. I usually don't even tell people what part of New Jersey I'm from, because, you know, most people haven't even heard of Washington, New Jersey, so, like, and they live in Jersey, so I'm a little ways out from the city, but it's North Jersey, still, for y'all that didn't know. But, yeah, as far as what the name means, it's, basically, I was just trying to figure out, like, my name back when I started making beats in college, and I was like, I really don't know, like, what would be grabbing, you know? So I was like, oh, let me go with the one. Like, it sounds so stupid. And then it was like Earn Mac Beats, because my first name is Ernest. So I'm like, I don't know. And then I was like, what's something clever that I could take my own name and flip it, you know? So, you know, I just said my first name is Ernest, so E. And then the first three letters of my last name is C-O-N, so Econ. So I was like, E-dash, okay, Econ, economy, so that's short for economy. So I was like, that's perfect, because just like my whole style is basically like, you know, you get the economy package, you know, you get a lot for your little bang for your buck, you know? That's pretty much how I came up with the name. It's nothing crazy. It's simple, you know, something for, you know, it rolls off the tongue easily, you know, and it's a common word. It's just spelled differently. So, yeah, so that's where I got my name from.
Like, how did you begin your journey into music? Like, what gave you that childlike fascination with making music? Yeah, like, where did it originate? You feel me?
Oh, man. Yeah, that's a loaded question, man. How long we got? Oh, man, let's see. So, started back when I was young, in the church. You know, was in, you know, the youth choir and whatnot. And, you know, when I was a little kid, you know. And then, eventually, when I got to elementary school, and I started playing the saxophone. And it was cool. I mean, I kept at it for a couple of years. But I always used to see, like, the drummers in the back, you know, back of the classroom, you know, cutting up. I'm like, it looked like they had way more fun than me. And I know we're all reading sheet music and stuff, but no, they having way more fun than I am, you know. I just didn't have, like, a passion for it. So, basically, asked my mom and the teacher if I can switch instruments, and I started playing the drums, and I was playing the drums in concert band, marching band, started playing drums in my church up until, you know, until I graduated high school. But even in high school, I was doing, also did concert choir in high school. But I used to always tell, like, my friends that rapped, I'm like, yo, I can make beats. Like, I used to even play around in, like, in the choir room and playing the piano. I had no idea what I'm doing, but I could create melodies and stuff, but it was all by ear. But I always just had that belief that I could make beats. I just had a lot of ideas in my head. I just didn't know how to do it. So it wasn't until, like, I was in college. I was a freshman in college. And, you know, I had a brand new laptop, you know, that my parents bought. And that was just supposed to be for you know, academic studies and whatnot. But, you know, it had some space on it and good enough, you know, computing power to put some software on there for music, and downloaded Fruity Loops on it, and it basically went from there, and you know, turned into an obsession. I was up at late at night while friends was out at parties, and I'm sitting in the room making beats all night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, you know. And that was, like, something that was just ongoing. And to this day, like, I prefer to, you know, rather be in the house making music than, you know, being out and about. So, yeah, man. So that's where it all started for me. And to answer your second part of your question, basically, just being free in your creativity and just letting your mind go wherever it's gonna take it, you know. you know, we have all these ideas in your in our minds and our brains. And I was talking about this on Twitter earlier and this week, and I was saying I had writer's block, but I'm like, why am I even, like, I even say to myself, it doesn't exist, just because it's like, I'm not being free, I'm not being open with my creativity, I'm trying to execute on an idea that I have in my mind to 100%, and sometimes it doesn't need to go to that direction. There's times that, yeah, that idea that's in your brain is like the best thing ever, and sometimes the best thing ever comes out on paper, or in our case, digitally, that we record, you know. And so, yeah, just being present and just always having that free mind of just saying, hey, man, whatever it's going to be is going to be. And I think the world would be in a lot better place, you know, if we all were, you know, just more free. And just live life and enjoy it while we have the, while we're here, because it's only for a short while. So that's why I try to convey in my music and try to tell a story at all times. So yeah, that's what keeps me, you know, keeps that childhood, you know, or childlike fascination for me.
What up, it's your boy Cuddy Fresh, and you're checking out The Rec Show with Goldmine.
We'll be right back.
keeps following, man. Check it out, man. That's Usher Board. Yo, the track before that was Soul Bounce. The track before that was About Tomorrow, man. So, yo, we just gonna keep rocking with the interview, man. So, like, Economy, let me ask you, like, creatively, in your mind, like, what do you hear when you hear, like, samples and sounds you want to use in your production? And then, oh, I always gotta ask every guest, melodies or drums?
So basically, it depends, you know. Depends what I'm working on, what's going through my mind, going through my process. If I'm using samples, I kind of, the way I use samples is like, you know, I do chop them sometimes. Sometimes I just loop them, but I always try to make the sample kind of like a painter uses like their canvas, right? So like the sample is the canvas that I'm painting on, and then I base everything around that and change it into something beautiful, you know. Yeah. So wow. You know, most people wouldn't say a sample is a blank canvas. It's, you know, for a producer, it almost is, you know. It's, it is almost like a blank slate to something that you can, you know, mold into your own, you know. So when it comes to that, that's how I kind of approach samples. But as far as like sounds, I just use what I feel brings the best emotion and feel to the track. So if it's a lead synth that's gonna do it, or some strings or some Rhodes or some other synth sounds, or you know, just depends. And as far as drums or melody first, when I'm creating like an idea from scratch where I'm not using like any sample as the bass, I like to go with my drums first, because you know I'm catching a rhythm, you know, and once I get that rhythm down, then I'll lay the other, you know, the other melody and everything on top of that. But if it's sample, I might go with the sample first and figure out the melody and then base the drums around the way I chopped it. So, you know, it's different approaches. So, using Logic Pro 10, been using that for a while now. Yeah, I've been using that, I don't know, maybe 6 years or so, 7 years, maybe more than that. Been using that in conjunction with Fruity Loops still. Sometimes I'll use FL, just because I like the sequencer, and I usually do a lot of like sampling in FL, because it's just like I started in FL, so if I want to go and chop a sample up really quick, I'm just more efficient as far as time, if I want to just chop a sample up quicker in FL Studio. But yeah, for now it's just Logic, and got a lot of different gear that I've been using. I have a bunch of analog synths that I use. I got the Korg Mini Loop and the Behringer Poly D. I also have, it's a MIDI keyboard, but you can also take it on the fly and use it. They have like also like a native app for your iPhone or your iPad. But it's the Roli Seaboard. I use that for recording as well, and that thing is like nuts, because it's like the expression, it's like literally like 3D touch or 4D touch. I think it is 4D touch, 5D touch, actually. Well, here's talking about some 3D touch. I think it's 5D touch. So, you know, you can really bring the emotion out of something simple as a pad that would be on a synth, and you really can't, like, you know, it would take me to like do a couple knobs with my left hand and play a note, play the chord, you know, in my right hand, and you know, to get that expressiveness, where you could just do that on the keyboard itself, and you can kind of like play it like, say you're playing like a guitar, like a virtual guitar, and you could strum it, and it'll have that feel of like an actual guitar, feel and sound. Obviously, there's nothing like, you know, the real thing, but as far as, you know, an emulator of such, and yeah, that's probably the closest that you're gonna get. You know, trying to think if there's any other, you know, gear or anything. I think that's it, you know. But yeah, man, they all help me, you know, my creativity, and be able to express my creativity. Said the Korg Mini Loogie, and I use that because it's a MIDI keyboard and a polyphonic synth. So I can record analog and MIDI simultaneously, you know. So I can use a synth lead in Logic that I have, and then analog synth that I created, patch I created on the Korg, and combine those together, you know, and make some crazy sounds with it. So yeah, I almost forgot about the guitar that I bought last year. I incorporated it a few times in my production, but I need to start using it more, obviously, and learn more. But I'm looking forward to incorporating it more, and you know, make it a habit or something I use frequent in my production.
What were your musical influences growing up? And then, like, what's that one childhood memory regarding music?
As far as musical influences, I have to say, you know, probably my family, and also church. As far as family, like, because my dad listened to, like, you know, that Motown sound, like 60s, 70s, 80s, that type of music, you know. That's where I kind of, like, that's where my sound kind of is formed from, that, you know. And then, you know, my mom, you know, she would play her music, like her gospel music, and, you know, the 90s soul, you know, and R&B music. And then my sister, which is another big influence for me, because, like, I literally probably got all my music tapes from her growing up, because of all the different stuff that she, like, exposed me to, as far as, like, you know, that new age stuff that we were growing up on, you know. That's why I became a Nas fan, you know. I chose Nas because of her, you know, and the beef between him and Jay. So, so basically, you know, a lot of influence came from her as far as that. You know, I couldn't even think about the countless, you know, artists that she listened to growing up. She had mad tapes, like duffel bag worth of tapes. I think we still have some at the house. It's crazy, like, the amount of tapes that she had. I don't know. But yeah. And other question regarding childhood, I would say, I would say my parents dropped me off to the babysitter, and I would literally sit in front of the TV for 8 to 12 hours watching the Thriller video, like, on repeat, like, like, literally, like, I knew the dance, I knew the behind the scenes interview, I knew all that by heart. Like, you could literally just pop that tape in, give me some food, and I would sit in front of that TV and watch the tape over and over and over again. Like, literally, like a, almost like a little mini robot, just like grooving and like doing the full-on dance. And so, but yeah, love Michael, man.
Peace, world. I go by This Is Unusual, and I'm from Union City, New Jersey. You are now plugged into the Rec Show podcast with the one and only Golden Mind.
Following Me is a vibe which you released in May of 2020, middle of the pandemic, right? Shit going on, shit is crazy, we don't know what's how happening. What were your emotions like? What were your muses when you were creating this album, yo?
So that project was it's basically my debut album for me, because I kind of try to approach, like, you know, even if it's instrumental, I try to approach it like an album from start to finish. Try to kind of create a story. That's the same way, you know, when I'm doing my music, like, I try to create a story for that particular song. And so basically, like you said, we were in the middle of a pandemic. Like, nobody knew what the hell was going on. Like, you didn't know if you'd step outside and the plague was gonna get you, and you'd go to the grocery store and come back and be gone. So, like, it was just like a mix of emotions. This is like, I've been holding off doing, putting this out for a minute. Like, a lot of people that I, you know, or in the beat community with, like, I see them dropping tapes and albums and stuff like that. Like, yeah, it's dope, but I don't know why, I just never went for it myself. And it just gave me opportunity, you know. I had nothing else to do, I couldn't go anywhere, just like everybody else. And I mean, you could, but, you know, you shouldn't have. And I was like, these ideas are flowing. And one beat was coming out after another, and I was just like, you know what? This is it. I'm gonna put a project out. And I was like, it felt great, because, you know, I was able to release it exactly on my dad's birthday. And the last track is May 22nd, which is, you know, my dad's birthday, obviously. And, you know, it was like a special date for me to do it then, and I just felt like the timing was right for it, especially because I had a lot of momentum like going into before the pandemic happened. I was doing shows consistently. I did like shows like 5-6 months in a row. Had a show lined up. Like, it felt good. I was like, yeah, I'm getting somewhere with this. And boom. Like, I'm sure everybody had that same feeling. Like, what the hell? Like, what am I gonna do? Like, everybody's trying to find that same momentum that they had before the pandemic started. And we're still in the pandemic, and everybody's still trying to fish their way and find their way. And, you know, everyone being home at that time, you know, lockdown and stuff, that kind of was like in my favor, because I'm like, you know, I gotta release something, because everybody's, if any time in the world or any time ever that someone's gonna listen to your music, it's gonna be now, because they don't got shit to do. Sorry if I cursed, if that's not allowed, that's my fault, but yeah, they ain't got nothing to do, so they just in the house chilling. Like, hey, they gotta press play. So I'm glad the way it was received. So, you know, and I look forward to bringing more. So, yeah.
So, like, this is a game I call Superheroes. You play it by name of your childhood, teenager, and adult beat maker or music producer superheroes.
Major key.
No genre is off limit.
Oh, man. Let's see. First, I had to go with the Heatmakers. Heatmakers and Just Blaze, definitely, because when I first like had that inspiration to start making beats, it was the Diplomats, like all those like samples and like drum patterns, all that, like that's what really like sparked that in my mind, like, yeah, man, like, yeah, I need to do this. So definitely those two. Ryan Leslie, that's another, he doesn't get his flowers enough. I know, you know, everybody and their mother does these beat videos, and you know, we kind of, you know, follow suit now, because before that, you know, I didn't see, like, anybody doing that, like, that type of workflow things, you know, when it comes to beat making. And obviously, you know, the way he recorded it, it made it look so, like, effortless, like, so that's another one that really, like, I would like literally sit there and like study like his beat videos and how he put his melodies and drum patterns together, and just like the different spacing and stuff like that that we'd have in his music, and just like, it was just, oh man, like, it blew my mind. Who else? Oh, I can't forget Brian Michael Cox. That's another one, man. I love B. Cox, man. He's a legend in himself. And he also doesn't get his flowers enough, as far as from the community. But and I'll name one more that's like slightly different genre. It's Bibio. He makes like electronic folk and mix it with kind of like with hip hop, kind of sort of, but yeah, that's another like big influence for me, because I tried to like, you know, bridge that gap between, you know, hip hop, R&B, electronic folk, whatever, you know, like try to bring all those different influences into my music. So definitely would go on the superhero list. Oh, Wow, and I didn't name Quincy Jones. I'm sorry, Quincy. Absolutely, Quincy. Yes.
Yeah, you gotta add Quincy to that, man. Yo, so listen, now that you're a little bit older and wiser, what advice would you give to the younger you when you first started making beats? Like, and what do you say to people that's like creating but still supporting themselves with maybe one or two jobs? Like, what would be your inspiration to them?
Number one, back up your stuff. I lost a whole laptop worth of music. Like, all because I didn't back up the hard drive. So, you know, I have some of the frameworks for some of this stuff, but like, meat and potatoes gone. Like, I'm talking mad beats from when I first started. Like, finish. Gone. Finito. So, back up your stuff. That's the first thing I would have told him. Or tell him. Or tell any of you out there that's listening to this. You know that. You know you should back up your stuff. Or maybe you don't. But, you know, if you don't have a hard drive, use Dropbox. You know, pay that subscription until you have money to get a hard drive. And back up your stuff, man. That's definitely important. I'll also say, not to compare yourself to anyone. It's easy to get into that mindset of, damn, he's doing this, she's doing that. Like, no, you can't get into that mindset. Especially in the social media age, it's hard. But you gotta turn it off, you know? And I was not saying turn off your screen. Literally, I'm telling you to turn it off in your brain. Like, yeah, use that as inspiration. And, you know, look at these people as your peers and not as something that you'll never achieve or never strive to, or never, like, their sound or that sound that you hear is not attainable. It's attainable. You just gotta work for it. Some of us gotta work harder than others to get there. But, you know, you keep plugging away, keep working, you'll get there. As far as some inspiring words, yeah, man. Just look at music as your, you know, that is your job. That, you know, your 9-to-5 is your side. I know sometimes the 9-to-5 kind of, you know, bogs you down and you don't have time, you know, for music sometimes because you're working multiple jobs, especially now where the economy is. It's just, you know, I get it. It's crazy, but just find time, even if it's on the weekend, even if it's a couple of hours, you know, just do that, you know. You know, just find time, you know. If you really love it, just find time. Even if it's an hour or two, you know, it might not be fulfilling for you, but until you get to a place where you can, you know, turn music full time, you know, which is everybody's dream and something that I recently, you know, dove into. But, you know, I also have a safety net, so, you know, it's not, you know, for the faint of heart. So, you know, just gotta keep working and until you can do that. So
before I continue with my message,
if you can't record, you know, get those voice memos, get your phone out. As soon as you know, you get some inspiration, you know,
thank you, sister.
Pull that phone out. We all have a phone. Do a quick beatbox, do a quick melody, and then when you get home, lay that melody down, lay that beat pattern down, you know, because, you know, those ideas are very fleeting, and you know, it might not be there when you finish work after, you know, dealt with whatever you're dealing with. So just just keep going, man. And just don't give up, basically, man. Just that's it, man. You got one life to live, and all the time that you sitting around saying, damn, I can't do this, I can't do that, or I didn't do this, or I didn't do that, all that time passed, and you know, you could have just did it. Simple as that.
Yeah, I feel you on that, man. Yo, y'all pay attention to those keys, man. So listen, like, what's the beatmaker music production scene like? Like, what's the beatmaker scene like in New Jersey? Like, how do you connect with other people that trying to do the same thing you're doing? You know what I mean? Just in different ways, or maybe sound different, yeah.
The beatmaking scene, where I'm at, non-existent. There's nothing. There's 0%. I live like an hour away from the city, so you know, literally, there's no, you know, no beat or music production scene from where I'm from. So majority of the time, I had to go out to the city, go out to Brooklyn. Before the pandemic, there was a scene in Jersey City, for the most part, Brooklyn. There's a lot of collectives out there, and I do a lot of shows consistently out there, especially before the pandemic. I did a few in Brooklyn. So you got it's a booming scene out there. Obviously, it's New York, right? So, that's why even, like, in my Twitter bio, like, it says New York and New Jersey, because it's, like, I live so far from everything, so, like, I really wasn't, like, included, like, in a lot of the stuff that Jersey or New York was doing, because I was just far as hell from everything, and so it was kind of, like, funny that you had Unusual, on the, pod last episode, because like that's like the homie, like I connected through him through one of my childhood friends that raps, and they had went to engineering school and stuff together, and he was telling me about the beat scene out there in Brooklyn and out there in like in Jersey City, Union City, all that. And yeah, he was like, he basically like put me on like my first few shows, you know, we just tell people, oh, I mean, hey, man, my boy Economy's dope, like, you know, you should, you know, give him a look, and, you know, put him on the bill. So, you know, I'm forever grateful to him. Like, even to this day, like, he'll still, like, you know, hit me up or hit some, you know, people that's running the show and say, hey, man, well, that's one thing I like about him. Like, he'll be doing a show, he'll get booked for a show, and he'll ask, like, if there's another spot on the show just for, like, one of his other homies, not even just me, like, you know. So, that's a very dope quality about him. So, that's kind of, like, how I, you know, started to really, like, get into the beat scene out there in New York and in Jersey. Just... and through that, and then networking, and just showing up, just showing my face up. I would just show up to events. I still do that, just by myself, just to network and talk to people. And that's kind of like just the like, if people don't understand like why people are getting booked for shows, like, damn, I'm nice as hell, but why ain't getting booked for shows? So-and-so is, you know what I mean, not as good as me, and they getting booked, this, that, and the third. But are you sitting in the house? Like, are you not, you know, I get it. Like, this is pre-pandemic. Even when it was open and it was a little bit safe to go out, like, are you still just sitting in the house and, like, not, like, having that FaceTime with people? You know, not the FaceTime on your phone, but actual FaceTime with other artists and producers and stuff like that. Like, that's how you kind of, you know, mingle and kind of get your name out there and kind of, you know, and people start to find out who you are. So just showing up is literally half the battle, as they say, right? So, yeah. I mean, also social media, obviously, you know, that's connected me with other producers as well. You know, with Twitter and Instagram and stuff like that. But it's nothing like, you know, putting a face to a name and, you know what I mean? Okay, this is who this person is, you know, because, you know, you can actually form an actual, you know, real live relationship with other producers and like-minded artists. So, yeah. Yeah, ownership, obviously, that's big, right? Everybody wants control over their music, and everyone wants to, you know, be in the forefront of the, like, the emerging technologies and stuff like that, as far as blockchain and cryptocurrency and NFTs and all the above. You know, I think it's important that artists diversify when it comes to everything, because a lot of this stuff's not going to get adopted overnight. You know, you need to have an approach that I'm going to still use DSPs, I'm still going to use direct, you know, a website, I'm still going to use Bandcamp, I'm still going to use SoundCloud, I'm still going to use these different sources to get the music out there, in addition to, you know, you have your NFTs and stuff like that, you know. You know, some of the stuff is good out there, some of the stuff is, you know what I mean, not so good. I mean, when it comes to cryptocurrency and minting music on a blockchain, right? Because, you know, you have Ethereum, you're paying high gas fees, so you might be paying a lot to just mint the NFT, and you might not even make that money back. So it might just sit there, because for, you know, every success story of someone making X amount of dollars, it's usually the guys that have a big following already. You know, the little guy is not doing $1 million on a NFT sale. Like, so you just gotta, you know, weigh your options and be cautious and do your research, and yeah, man, you definitely just gotta be smart with it. And I just kinda hope, like, you know, I think a lot of people thought when streaming came out, a lot of artists kind of had that wool over their eyes. They didn't realize what was kind of being done to them behind the scenes. And then now a lot of us are, you know, waking up and seeing, damn, like, we're really getting shortchanged. So that's why, you know, this move into, you know, Web3 and minting music on a blockchain is big now. But then it's like, at some point, you know, labels will catch on and invest in the space, and, like, they see what's going on. It's like, yeah, like, everyone thinks, like, you're getting ahead of the curve, but, you know, eventually, like, you gotta figure if, like, this is just another form to, like, sell something to your followers and fans, and it's gonna be bringing something of value, or are you just like a cog in the wheel, you know? So, you know, just be cautious on that end. So I could probably talk about this all day, so I'm just gonna end that there.
Yeah, man. So, like, we could talk about that all day, but, you know, it's a very important topic. That's why I asked every beat maker on the show. But last question, man, like, what should the internet's look out for from Economy in 2022? Like, what do you have on the horizon? How can people tap into you and your music? Go ahead and plug all your socials and whatever else you want to plug, man.
2020, man. I got a lot of stuff in store, man. I mean, I got an album. I got actually a couple albums, EPs, singles, whole nine. Lord willing, obviously, you know, nobody knows the future, but yeah, I have a lot on the pipeline this year. I don't know. I said I was gonna probably tell the name of the album, because I haven't even like given the actual album title. I've been talking about it, like throwing hints at it. But you know, I'll reveal it in due time once everything's locked in the way I want it to be. But it's gonna be very, very shortly, so just definitely look out for that. You can find me on, you know, Twitter, Instagram, same handle, JR Economy, JRCONOMY. You can find me on TikTok, same handle. Find me on Spotify, Apple, Audius, Tidal. Stream me on Tidal if you're gonna stream, though, because, you know, get more, you know, streaming revenue on Tidal. I mean, I'm not saying don't stream on Spotify. I ain't telling you to go pay for Tidal, and I ain't telling you to go pay for all these other subscriptions. But I'm just letting y'all know, can't forget about Bandcamp. Bandcamp is essential. I mean, for now. I mean, until we find another source for direct. But for us beat makers and artists, you know, support direct on Bandcamp, most important. And yeah, I know Christmas and holidays is over, but I had just dropped in a holiday EP. There's some of that stuff on there you can still listen to. It's actually snowing this week, so, you know, stream that I Hate the Snow for me. And you know, some other stuff on there that still got value even after the holidays, so it's, it just sounds good, it feels good, so stream that too. So, and shout out to the homie Ivy3, man. That's my road dog, partner in crime, and he's a very talented artist. That was the childhood friend that I was alluding to earlier that connected me and Unusual. So we got a lot of stuff coming out this year as well. So 2020 should be a great year, man. At least for music. I don't know about everything else that's going on outside. But yeah, man, thank you for having me. And I appreciate you asking me to come on and giving me my first podcast experience. So this is cool. So hopefully it's the first of many. And I appreciate you.
Yeah, bruh. Yo, this won't be the last time you'll be on the show, man. I hear dope things from you, so I'm definitely tapped in. All my followers, man, y'all should be tapped in the Economy. Check them out. And thank you for being on the show. I appreciate you for saying yes. And I mean, just building with me. So, Jersey stand up. You already know I'm a New Jersey native. So, you already know, man. But yeah, man, I hope y'all enjoyed the show. This is episode 32 of The Rec Show. We'll be back next week with another guest. And yeah, man, make sure you just take care of yourselves. And we're gonna keep it rocking like that, man. Peace and love, yo.
for sure. But I'll be back soon. And I truly, truly hope to see you again. But until then, Merry Christmas. Happy Holiday. Happy Kwanzaa. Feliz Navidad. All the above. And remember, whatever you love doing, make sure you make time for it. And if you need a confirmation not to give up, well, this is it.
They tell like younger kids or other kids, that's cheating. You can't really do yourself with your girl. Like, when it comes to this producing shit, you can do whatever you want.
You've been listening to the Rec Show podcast. Be sure to subscribe, like, and leave a comment. Remember three things. Believe in your music. Take care of your mental. Become the best version of yourself. Until the next one, Golden Mind signing off. Peace and love, yo.
To be the best, you got to work overtime. To be the best, you got to work overtime.